Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Good evening, everyone, and aloha. This is Professor Gary Lee, and we're very honored to be here tonight. We want to welcome you to the AMAA, Pioneers and Legends Archives Radio Show, Parts Unknown, where we feature the personal up-to-date interviews with the pioneers and legends of sport karate and the American martial artist icons. We have an interesting show tonight, and we're going to do something tonight I've never done before in my past history or in the line of the shows that we're doing. I'd like to dedicate this show to someone very special to the Sport Karate Museum Archives. He's actually been involved with the museum from the very first inception of it in 1999 when we roasted Mr. J. Pat Burleson and Mr. Jim Harrison. And, Sunday, he had a pacemaker put into him, and we just want him to know that we're thinking of him. And we'd like to dedicate this show to him tonight because he's a big part of what's going to be going on in September the 29th by bringing in the legacy of Jim Harrison into Houston, Texas, and having a Jim Harrison Day. He cares about the history. He's personal friends with incredible people like Bob Wall, George Clark, and some of the people we're talking tonight to, Jim Hartley, but particularly the J. Pat Burleson and Jim Harrison. Mr. Jimmy Fighting Irishman Anderson is a real friend. We love him dearly. So tonight, our show is dedicated to his spirit and to his love and his feeling toward the sport karate community, which he's a big part of. Well, we're right less than a week away from the Bill Wallace Superfoot event, and I got to spend a moment to talk about that before we go to our special guest tonight. Bill Wallace is a mainstay in sport karate, a tremendous record in point karate, and then, of course, he's a pioneer in full contact and kickboxing. His record finished with 23-0, and last year we honored him by having a banquet and a tournament in his honor, and it turned out so well that Don DeVries and Richard McClain, super producers up in Cleveland, Ohio, have been given the reins to do it every year. And every year we put in a new group of history generals from that area, and they have a tremendous group of people that support it. Danny Lane, H.A. Perry, Algin Corella. This year they have special guests, Mr. Joe Corley, Mr. Jeff Smith, special guest, Mr. Glenn Keeney, who traveled on the road and was a roommate with Bill Wallace in the early years. And this event will be in Cleveland, Ohio, with a tournament, a banquet, and also the introduction of the Cleveland Martial Arts Hall of Fame, where inductees will be honored this year at the Bill Wallace event. So to add the plus to it, Hachi Bowen will be there with a live radio show and a special, which we have tonight going on tonight. If you call into this show, you'll not only receive an autographed hardcover book, but a $24.95 free Legends T-shirt. And that number to call in to is directly to Hachi Bowen. And that number is 919-618-8075. And I promise you that Hachi Bowen is by the phone right now, waiting for that phone call to get you to have one of our new Who's Who in Martial Arts books autographed by Bill Wallace, and also to get your free Legends T-shirt. He'll be at book signing also at the Bill Wallace event. And this year, I understand they're going to be having it at an amusement park near the airport, so it's going to be fun for all ages and everybody involved. And don't forget, that's going to be March the 31st. April 1st, Cleveland, Ohio, the Bill Wallace Superfoot event. You know, tonight's show is someone that been a part of my life for the past 25 years. It doesn't sound like a long time compared to the two gentlemen that we're going to be talking to tonight. It's been with him since the early 70s. But he's a major part of the sport karate archives. And so you understand a little bit more who he is before I introduce the two gentlemen we're going to be actually talking to live. I'd really like to share with the audience how he's influenced not only the Sport Karate Museum, but the personal lives of what I've done in my journey also. These are some bullet points of Jim the Road and Harrison, how he's touched the museum and how he affected what we're doing right now in keeping the Sport Karate Museum alive and the archives alive. He was at Garrett's first test of the first Living Legends, and he'd never signed a child certificate before. Garrett was a very young age, and him and Mr. Steen both had never endorsed a child certificate before, and Garrett was the first. He actually wrote the first article on the Living Legends for Black Belt Magazine, and we were very honored for that because he put a no-holds-barred article that really told it like it was. We roasted him. I believe it was the third roast. And, you know, him being an original history general that started the history general phase of showing respect to the history, that's very important. And the roast was so much fun to bring everybody together to recognize Mr. Jim Harrison. You know, he's been the guest and actually guest speaker for many, many, many legends since then. We're celebrating 25 coming up in September. We named a Natural Fighter Award after him, and this year he's the part of the first Kahuna Awards. The J. Pat Burleson Natural Fighter Award goes to Mr. Jim Harrison. Jim Harrison's Natural Fighter Award goes to Mr. J. Pat Burleson. You know, we inducted his black belt family into the History Generals together. And you'll be hearing about some of those fighters tonight, Mr. Bob Thurman, Steve Mackey, Mark Payne, and the list goes on. He donated, and this is a real personal part of it, his 16-millimeter film of his very first event he did in a small television studio where he brought together about 12 of the best fighters in the country. And Joe Louis won it. He actually won $1. And Mr. Harrison made a tremendous point. We had the film and autographed by him personally. You know, it's real personal because the two gentlemen that are going to be on tonight, along with myself, were certificates that are signed by Mr. Harrison. That's very personal. And probably the most important part is the adventure of the black belt. I call it that. It, 2 years back, Mr. Harrison decided to passed down the black belt that was given from Giant Master June Ree to Mr. Alan Steen. Mr. Alan Steen wore it and passed it down to Mike Stone. And Mike Stone wore it, and he passed it down to J. Pat Burleson. And he wore it, and then, of course, he passed it on to Mr. Harrison, and he wore it. And Mr. Harrison wanted to have a place where it would be taken care of for life, and he trusted the Sport Karate Museum Archives to have that. So that is the journey of how Mr. Harrison has played an important part of the journey of the museum. Now, when I mention the word Camelot, I mention that when I think of King Arthur. Now, at one time, King Arthur felt he had everything together. Everything was in order. And it would be one place and one time. And the Jim Harrison legacy with two of his early black belts, and I call him this. His nickname was Animal, but I call him George the Destroyer Clark and Heartless Jim Hartley. And this dedicated show, this show, as I said earlier, is dedicated to Mr. Jimmy, the Fighting Irishman Anderson, and his loving friendship with Mr. Harrison's black belt family. And, again, we wish him to get well real soon. This is a candid interview with Parts Unknown in Deep Look. It's a man that has put more stitches and the black belt competitors have been to the hospital more than any other black belt competitor in the early days of competition. Jim Harrison, helped create the Blood and Guts era. And George Clark and Jim Hartley lived it with him, along with a huge stable of fighters like Bob Thunder Thurman and Steve Mackey, Mark Payne, and so many others. George Clark, Green Beret, firefighter, knockout artist with a record of 36-5-1 with 31 knockouts, was a beast in the ring. And he met Jim in 1983, and he's been his mentor ever since. Heartless Jim Hartley has been with Mr. Harris since 1975. And his first fight was in 1978, with him receiving only $15 for the fight because he gave away all his tickets for his first fight. He thought that he was be able to bring people and spectators in, and he ended up making $15 for the fight. But I know Mr. Hartley loves to fight so much. He's a master instructor. He's a kid's advocate. He's a pastor. It's amazing, amazing sport karate history between these two. I really want you to enjoy this Parts Unknown interview with two of the pioneers and history generals of the Sport Karate Museum Archives. Mr. Clark, Mr. Hartley, are you there on the line?
Oh, yeah. How are you doing?
Yes, sir.
Hey, George. Hey, Jim. How you guys doing?
Doing great. Sitting here at the fire station, just enjoying this talk.
Now, are you still a firefighter, George? Are you still in service?
Yeah, 27 years I've been a firefighter. I'm actually working today at the station. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that you were still doing it. Goodness gracious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, again, before we start, thank you for your service, being a Green Beret, and we're looking forward to your seminar at the 25th Living Legends. I've told a few people about it already, and they're just excited about having a Green Beret come in and teach self-defense. But, you know, before we get started, first of all, you guys, you know, are incredible fighters in history, generals for the museum. But, you know, I want my listeners to know who George Clark is and who Jim Hartley is. So I'm going to start with George first. George, I'm going to ask you, how did you get started, and how did you meet Mr. Harrison?
I started in actually 1973. With Mr. Harrison, I was just a rough street kid, and I needed some type of guidance. I love my father, but I didn't have a good father experience at that time. And so Mr. Harrison, Jim came in and became a father figure, actually, for me. And so that's when I started with him.
Okay. Now, did you make black belt under him?
Yes, I did. But it took years. Because I wasn't promoted until 1999 as a black belt. I received black belts in some other organizations, but I never considered those real rank. My rank is coming through Mr. Harrison and Bushida Khan. So
yes,
I was I went in the military 6 years. I was gone, did different stuff, and came back. I was fighting in the military, though, full contact and point, and did very well with it.
Very good. Hey, Jim, how did you get started, and how did you meet Mr. Harrison?
Well, I got started because Bruce Lee movies were out at that time. You remember all the the craze. My brother worked at the theater, so we got to go free every night. Spent the weekend at the drive-in trying to kick the speakers, and then I went kid in my neighborhood. I was did another style for a month, and then one of my friends invited me to go to the Bushida Con, and I met Mark Payne, and I just heard about Mr. Harrison then, and then he had two dojos. I started at the one in Raytown, which was, we called it the Yuppie School. It was real pretty. It had all the weights and sauna and all that stuff. Then I went over to where George was, and that was kind of like Joe Frazier's gym. That was the Johnson Drive dojo where all the fighters were, and that's when I really got to start training under Mr. Harrison, and it was a life-changing experience, eye-opening.
Wow. So, you know, I just can imagine the stable of fighters, you know, that I read about through those years when I was around the United States in those early years before it became a part of my life. What was it like, and this question is to both of you guys, what was it like training with the caliber of Mr. Harrison and knowing that he was becoming, I guess you guys knew this, you could feel it, I'm sure, that he was becoming a legend. I mean, he was one of the first original judges for the PKA, him and Dr. G. So you guys were there in those early years. But what was it like training with a soon-to-be icon of the martial arts? I mean, what were some of the workouts like?
Well, I'd like to tell, the first time I went to Mission, first at Raytown, Mr. Harrison, when he refereed the kickboxing fights with Bill Wallace and Joe Lewis and, you know, the first championships, we just all went to class, saw him in class, and then that Saturday he's on Wide World Sports. Nobody even told us that was happening. You know, he wasn't a big talker, talked himself up. He just went and did it, and we saw that, and we're freaking out. And it took us a while to figure out what we really had. We knew it was unique in Kansas City, but, you know, just nationally, worldwide, how blessed we were. So the first time
he was
I
the
go,
judge for that. He was the judge for 1974, wasn't he?
He was the referee, yeah.
Yes,
and,
okay, I remember now, yes.
Manny Urquidy's, Bill Wallace, yeah, he was the first ref, and then he coached them when they went through Europe and fought. But the first time I went to the advanced class in, with George and the guys over there, Mr. Harrison, we did the routine. Steve Mack sat up, and Mr. Harrison came out. He says, put your gear on. And we all put our gear on. And he says, pair up. And I pair up. And, you know, Sean Harrison was like my idol. He was like the Fonz in those days. And, you know, I was pop. So I pair up with Sean because he's a nice guy. He teaches everything he can tell you. And put my gear and my headgear on. And the headgear were like those – catcher's mask, you know, just huge.
Right.
And I put that on. It was kind of loose. And Mr. Harrison says, okay, everybody bow in. And when I say Hajime, fight till somebody gets knocked out or gives up. And he puts his hand up, and I'm waiting for the punchline like it's a joke. Next thing he's saying, Hajime. And I'm like, what the? Then I knew I was in a different world. And I started moving around and trying not to get my head knocked off. And Sean did like a spinning heel kick, knocked my headgear a little loose, and I stepped back and I thought, thank God, I'm just going to say my headgear doesn't fit. I can't spar tonight. And trying to fix that headgear, and I'm looking through the ear hole sideways, and I see his leg coming off the ground. Last thing I remember was his knee. He hit me right, watch you roundhouse kick right in the head, and I woke up, leaned against the wall with a few other guys, all the same look on their face. And I was like, that's the coolest thing ever. I was hooked then.
Well, George,
that sounds cool, Jim.
But George, with your incredible record of 31 knockouts, what was one of your workouts like with Miss Harrison? What did he put you through?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm from a street environment, very strong street environment. I've been stabbed, ball batted, shot at, luckily not hit. But I come from a very different background than a lot of people does. And I knew I was in something special because of the intensity, but the spirit of Mr. Harrison, I knew was different. And I identified with him. And so I have a very, I won Tough Man Contest. I won, you know, I was Golden Glove Boxing. I fought Big Old Butterbean in Caesar's Palace. I fought Tommy Morse, a lot of people. And the thing is, I have a very high knockout ratio, but it's because of the intensity and desire that what he installed in us, and I give him a tribute to everything, helped leading me through my life, you know, being in special forces, being a firefighter, being world ranked fighter, being this and that, but I give him total credit for what he helped create in me.
Well, you know, besides being an incredible pioneer, blood and guts type fighter, that Mr. Harris became. Apparently he was a great coach, which we all know. I'd like to know, Jim Hartley, what's your favorite Jim Harrison story? Your outlandish favorite one.
Well, George and I will fight over who gets to tell the Bobby Ryan story.
But I will add on to it.
Let's do this before you tell that story. We got about 10 minutes, so I want the story right now. But let's set it up. George Pizarri had a kind of a disagreement with Jim, and Bobby Ryan was
Kansas, Roger Carpenter's tournament, Wichita, Kansas.
Yep. Okay, but the thing about what I want to set up is that back then, it was a different time, a different era. And a lot of times the best fights were not inside the gym, but outside the gym or whatever. So with that set up, it's set up to a confrontation. You guys, rock and roll. Tell me the story.
Well, you know, that was a Roger Carpenter's tournament, first Saturday of April every year. And we'd already had ambulances show up a few times because Sean Harrison put a couple guys in the hospital just in the brown belt division. So it was pretty intense. And then that night, you know, they have the championships, and Jim is refereeing the kids' matches, and some of the kids were going a little too hard, and Jim warned them, and then Tessari had a couple of things to say about that, and Jim got tired of him trying to tell him what to do and said, well, come on in here if you want to talk to me in the ring. And Tessari says, no, I'll do my fighting outside. And Jim called timeout. He left the ropes. He went down the steps, grabbed Tessari by the elbow, and says, let's go. And they walk out the gym in front of the whole crowd to the double doors. And Steve Mackey goes over there. I was there right next to Sean Harrison, and Jim's taking off his – he had that silver turquoise jewelry. He's taking his jewelry off, hands it to Sean, kicks his sandals off, opens the door, and he and Tessari go outside. And he turns around to Steve Mackey, says nobody comes out. And Steve hooks his elbows in that door. Jim and George Tessari go outside, and you could have heard a pin drop. It was just surreal. There's 3,000 people in the stands. They were just watching, you know, the Jim referee in the middle of the ring. And they're sitting there perfectly quiet, waiting. Not anybody's talking. Nobody's moving. And about a minute goes by, and we hear by the door, nice little calm tap on the door, and open the door up, and Jim comes in, sandals on, puts it on, doesn't say a word, goes back in the ring, starts refereeing again. And couple guys go out there looking for Tessari to see what happened, and we don't know anything. Jim keeps refereeing, and then George, I'll let you tell this part about when Bobby Ryan came over, because you had something good to say about Bobby when we were talking about
it. Yeah, and I'm going to say something that a lot of people have never said, and I truly believe this. Tessari was Bobby's instructor, Bobby Ryan's instructor. He was fighting a full contact match against Jeff Payne, Mark Payne's brother, that night. He came out, walked over to where Jim was sitting with the family, and they had words. And what happened was he threw a punch. Jim took him and threw him. And when they went down, he reached up, and while they were trying to pull Jim off, Mr. Harrison, he reached up and bit Jim in the face. Jim started took his finger and started to take Bobby's eye out. And he told Bobby, I will trade you flesh for an eye. And then Bobby, please, Jim, please don't take my eye. So that happened. My point to this whole thing is, of course, that's my instructor. I was about five rows behind. I was going to put my foot in Bobby's head. But the thing is, he stuck up for his instructor. That's Bushido. You know, he actually had – I won't say he had the guts to actually stand up to Mr. Harrison for his instructor. And you know what? That's what it's about, having that type of loyalty, and that's your sensei. You fight for your sensei. And you know what? I give him credit. But you know what? He picked the wrong guy, as we all know. But you know what? He did do it.
And I think, Gary, you posted that picture of Jim throwing Bobby Ryan. Somebody got
sure did.
Yes. You've got it on your site, and I've got it.
Yes.
But then after
you guys have exactly an incredible story.
Let me tell you the very last thing, Gary.
Yes.
The ring doctor runs up to Mr. Harrison. He didn't see what happened, and Mr. Harrison's walking over to where medics are afterwards, and Sean and I are walking next to him. He's got marks in his face where he's getting chewed on, and the doc says, is that a human bite? And Harrison says, nope, Bobby Ryan. It was so cool. And they took his pulse, and it was like 50. So,
That's an incredible story. And, you know, in today's, you know, when people hear a story like that who aren't part of that history, they probably think different things, but they don't understand that it was a different time and a different era. I like what you said,
sure,
George, about the honor and the code, how he stood up for his instructor. You know, I got to throw in my favorite story. Even though I wasn't there, I've heard it from every different viewpoints, from the people who were at ringside, the people that watched it, the people who heard about it, the people actually was in the ring, like Mr. Harrison. My favorite story is when he's fighting Victor Moore, and he gets knocked out of the ring, or he gets a cut above his eye, and he takes a staple gun, staples the cut, goes back in and finishes off Victor Moore and won the original Full Contact bashes there. Just incredible to watch.
Pat Burleson stapled him.
Sir?
Pat Burleson stapled him.
Oh, okay. That makes it even better. But imagine, guys, imagine today, even a MMA or a UFC fight, which, you know, of course, they're so regulated, this would never happen. Maybe in the early years, but I don't know. It was still regulated. Imagine someone doing what he did, letting, like, the first national crowd champion, Pat Burleson, staple his cut shut so he could finish beating up a guy or having a fight with a war. Because I'm not mistaken, you guys help me, Victor and Mr. Harrison didn't really like each other very much. Now, I know they're friends now, and they're very good friends now. They talk and share, but back in that day,
Victor got into a real fight with Joe Louis at Mr. Harrison's tournament here in Kansas City. Victor Moore and Joe Louis got in a real fight with each other.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know how close Louis was to Mr. Harrison. I got to throw this story in before we go to commercial break. Mr. Harrison told me a story one time when it was nostalgia, and we were just talking about how him and Joe would go to tournaments. A particular one up in Washington, where Joe would win the heavyweight division and Mr. Harrison would win the lightweight division. And they actually won a tournament, and they were in the bar, and this cowboy came up to him. I guess the biggest bull rider. Do you ever heard this story, Hartley, Jim?
Yeah.
And the bull rider
walked
up to him and said, yeah, and he goes and said, I want to know who the tough guy, karate guy is. And, of course, ended up Mr. Harrison hitting him first. they had to be taken out that night. And snuck out to the airport because everybody was looking for him because they beat up her at the whole bar, especially that bull rider. That's another story that back then you could get by with stuff like that, and, you know, just part of the legacy of what he did. Thanks for sharing that story with me, guys. I appreciate it. We're going to take a call.
We still want to tell our favorite stories, we still want to tell our favorite story of Mr. Harrison.
Absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what.
We have
I got a couple minutes. But if you keep it under 3 minutes, tell me one.
Go ahead, Jim.
Tell me one, George. You got 3 minutes.
Yeah, hey, I'll
here's
you
a different side of Mr. Harrison. When
go ahead.
Traveling with him, and he would always, you know, make fun of the flakes and all the different styles. But when he traveled, he was famous. He had a gun under his pillow, and I saw something else under there. And I caught him at night, and he was reading a book about kung fu. And I said, hey, I thought you didn't like him. And he said, hey, everybody's got a good move. You can learn from anybody. But don't tell anybody I was reading this. But, yeah, he was just a student of the art. Every style was always studying him. Always stuck with
That's
me.
That's funny. Go ahead, George. Go ahead.
Sure, real quickly. I was working for Mr. Harrison at the dojo. Two guys came in. One was about 6'9". He's a backup for this guy. And the guy goes, hey, I'm planning on opening a school down the street here. And I heard I had to get Jim Harrison straightened out about this. And so I called up to Jim's office upstairs and said, there's a guy here who said he needs to get you straightened out about opening a school. He goes, I'll be right down. As he's walking down the steps, he turns the corner into the room that we're all standing. It felt like the Arctic blast had got let in. Yeah, I shivered. And I was with Jim. It scared me, and I was with Jim, you know. He walked in, he goes, you want to talk to me? And they go, yes, sir, would that be okay? The other big guy goes, well, can I just stand here? He goes, you stand there, get upstairs now. The guy almost, I heard him run up the stairs. It was real quiet, and I heard, bam, what Mr. Harrison had done, and cocoed him against the wall and said, we look forward to you opening your school. We'll be there a lot to work out with you. Well, of course, the school, they almost ran out of the place, did not open. The other one was my ex-wife was ranked number 4 in the world in boxing, bought the Playboy Mansion, everything. We were in Idaho, and they were being difficult about the gloves we were wearing. So Mr. Harrison, Roger Green stayed with Francesca, and Mr. Harrison went with me into the dressing room. There were about 40 people in there, and they were starting to argue. And all of a sudden, Mr. Harrison stepped up next to me and goes, is there a problem here? It felt like the Arctic blast came in. It was so cold. It was just different. And they looked and they said, no, sir, there's not. We'll be fine. We'll come again. Okay, George, we were right. We'll come on out. unbelievable presence does Mr. Harrison have? You know, he's the, not one of the nicest human beings you will ever meet, very intelligent, but you know what? There's the other side, and I've seen it, and I'm telling you what, he scares me, and I'm with the guy. You know, come on.
Yes, sir.
You know, but that's it, truly, truly memorable.
That's a good story, Jordan. I appreciate you sharing that with our listeners and the show. We're going to take a couple-minute break here, and we'll come back with you guys. Stay close, and we'll come back and play the Legends Name Game, which is a lot of fun. And we're going to take care of our sponsors right now. So we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the AMAA Legends of Boxing Show.
Here's your chance to take your martial arts to the next level. Train with the Masters August 11th through 13th, 2017, in Dallas, Texas, held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas. Hawaii has been the melting pot for different cultures of the Pacific Rim for many hundreds of years. Food, customs, family, language, and martial arts all have been mixed together and come out stronger and better. This year's theme is the Hawaiian influence on martial arts through custom martial culture, dress, and fashion. We will have special guest instructors that represent the Hawaiian influence, including Professor Alakola from Maui, who will be sharing the Apila style of Kempo from Brother Abe Kama Hoahoa of Hawaii, and also teaching Haka. Kuma Michelle Manu, who will be sharing the family style Lua from Grandmaster Solomon Kalyuma Kaliwalu, including both empty hand and weapons. She will be teaching her famous superhero experience. Self-defense classes where female participants dress up as superheroes. Women, do not miss this. Grandmaster George Lim will be presenting the Hawaiian Kempo with his wife, Grandmaster Patricia Lim. Kilis Hula Halu will be demonstrating and teaching hula on several occasions. And world-famous tattoo artist Tricia Allen, Ph.D., will be teaching a class on Polynesian culture and doing 4 days of custom Polynesian tattooing. Shoot fighting seminar taught by Grandmaster Bart Vail. MMA fighter Chuck Liddell's coach, John Hackerman. He runs the Pit Gym and guided Chuck Liddell to UFC light heavyweight status and has coached many other MMA fighters. To top off the weekend event, we have the Kempo International Hall of Fame. This banquet dinner event includes awards for the newest inductee members of the IHOF Recognition Award for its existing members. Nominate someone for the Hall of Fame on the GOE website. We will then contact the nominees, and the verification process will continue, with inductions being held at the Gathering of Eagles and International Hall of Fame Banquet on August 12, 2017, in Dallas, Texas. This is the Kempo International Hall of Fame, begun by Grandmaster Al Tracy in 2007 in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles. This Hall of Fame is a Kempo and Kempo-based system and is based on nominations from the governing board of the IHOF and also from the IHOF members themselves. This will be held in conjunction with the Gathering of Eagles in Dallas, Saturday, August 12, 2017. Held at the Sheraton Hotel Dallas, honoring the past and present brothers and sisters whose collective contributions are many and whose inspiration will continue on into the future to illuminate the path for those whom inspire to follow in their footsteps. GM Al Tracy, sponsors and vendors at the GOE KIHOF. This event is the perfect opportunity to get in front of hundreds of owners, instructors, and influencers from martial arts schools across the nation, Europe, and from around the world. There will be hours of networking opportunity throughout the three-day event in conjunction with special branding opportunities and IHOF media partners. For special media partners, contact Sabra Gerard at Sabra, and that's S-A-B-R-A at S-G. -PR.com. For sales, contact Wes Davis at WesDavis65@gmail.com.
We'll be back with our special guest, George Clark, in just a few minutes. But we want to welcome our new sponsors for the radio blog, and we really appreciate the time they take to give us a banner and also to do a commercial with us. We'd like to thank Mr. Nick Chamberlain and from the Gathering of Eagles, the original Gathering of Eagles up here in Dallas, Texas, August 7th through the 12th, and the Kimpo International Hall of Fame. Also by Juventix Incorporation. This is a event registration group that is the best of its kind. The original Juventix Incorporation is part of the growing tournaments in America for professionalism. And if you haven't seen it yet, it's pretty exciting. The name, picture, information is on a screen, done by a computer, and just really done well and professional. So if you go to a tournament that says it's sponsored by Juventix, check it out. It's well worth your time. Always, we'd like to thank Century Fitness and the people at Barnes & Noble and Amazon for having our book, Who's Who in Martial Arts, and also Amazon for carrying Memoirs of American Samurai, and that's Amazon.com for either one of those books. And to talk about the book for one more moment, remember, that's your book. That's your information, your story. And if you'd like to make a nomination for the 2017 nomination for the 2017 book, please go to Who's Who in MartialArts.com, and you can make your vote for the 2017 vote. Always, always, we always thank our friends at Blabo Magazine, editor Floyd Burke, and senior editor Robert Young. They've always been supportive from day one for the Sport Karate Museum archives. Don't forget our 24/7 format with country music, spiritual music, rhythm and blues, rock. We got Tony Robbins, Lawrence Arthur, Mr. Joe Corley, all kinds of people who are speaking on this program. And we have our shows podcasted. So if you missed a show, you can go back and you can listen to a past show. We are going to have some upcoming shows coming up with some incredible people. April 4th, we'll have the great Jeff Smith. April 11th, we're with Arnold Zip White. April 18th, the man who invented the two-point kick, Mr. Roy Kirvin. April 24th, the leader of the Sherman Oaks Raiders, the number one karate team in the country at one time, Bernie Pops Kranznew. And in May, we'll have Mr. Dan Super Anderson, Mr. Bob Liker, and Mr. Jim Buten. And looking forward to future dates with people like with Bill Viola. So we've got some incredible people lined up for these interviews of Parts Unknown. And we're excited to be here and be a part of what you're letting us be a part of your life every Tuesday night now. And we get to talk about some of these incredible pioneers and legends. And, you know, we might get lucky tonight. We call in for later on the show. Mr. Harrison might be able to call in, and we'll actually be able to get to talk to him. One more thing before we go back to my guests. You know, the idea behind the Sport Karate Museum is to collect artifacts. And the heart of the archives is the belt, of course, Mr. Harrison donated to the museum. It was handed down to the Sport Karate greats. It's important that we do it slow, and we do it accurate, and we do it that's memorable. And there's no beginning and no end. The journey goes on every day. Every day I seem to pack on something new and different that I collected 19 years ago at the first Legends. So every part of the show and ongoing, we will mention some of the things that we've collected. And it's pretty incredible list. So here's this week's list. Angelo Aldo's Bobby Barrington's Tournament Memories and Artifacts. Maurice Elliman's championship memorabilia of his career. Signed picture of Sid Campbell and Dan Tosh. A black samurai picture signed by Mako. A tiger photograph of Paul Mirazzotti. Hall of Fame award, Jim Harrison cocktail picture. Kill Bill Hattori Alonso sword replica. And also Nolan Ryan's bloody baseball card signed. Goshi Yamaguchi underneath the waterfall display at the top Texas 10. Eric Lee and Sippy Mark Jerry's picture. Okinawa Old Man signed autograph picture. NBL first place belt 1993. Tim Kirby's world championship gloves and signed picture. Tadashi Yamashita signed picture and sword. Tim Knutson's 10th degree black belt certificate and belt. Mr. Joe Lewis's rest in peace black belt TV image award. Shiro Mifune signed picture. Raul Vasquez, Jr., solid gold, 18-karat gold medal. Master A.J. Perry, personal karate memorabilia, a signed Who's Who in the Martial Arts Legend book, handmade top signed by Philip Bradley, and patches, belts, and documents of the Aston Shakira White Crane system. Bruce Ritchie's signed black belt. Al Garza's signed black belt. Mr. Richard W. Jenkins signed E and black belt. Bodie Mack signed uniform and black belt. Mr. Albert Hipper, 1963, signed black belt. Mr. Guy James, TNT, championship black belt. Excuse me. Golden Greek, Demetrius Savannah's blue and white, red polyester competition uniform and separate pants donated by Cocky Fontenot. Signed picture of Mr. Jimmy Jones. The broken Sluggerville wooden bats donated by Mr. Creed M. Potter. Gold medal police games won by Officer Mike McNamara. Weapons of war donated by DeSirio and the Sam Chapman signed gi and plaque. This is just to name some of the things that we've collected, and next week we'll rename some more. Now, back with my super special guest, Jim Hartley and George Clark. Are you there, guys?
Yeah, we're here.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good.
We're here.
I'm gonna start right off the bat with the Legends name game. And I'm going to say a name, and each one of you, please, because I got a couple names for you, tell me about them in a minute or a couple paragraphs, your heart, what you feel about them, no holds barred, parts unknown. You guys ready?
Sure.
Bob Thunder Thurman.
Probably the most destructive kickboxer in the history of the sport, I would consider him. Bob didn't just beat you, Bob hurt you. That was the difference with Bob. Bob was a destroyer until, of course, Yanis got a hold of him. But you know what? Before that, he was the most destructive kickboxer in the history of the sport. The longest reigning over 9 years in PKA, and the only fighter to be on Sports Illustrated that ever came out of it. But Bob, a destroyer.
Yes, sir.
I got
Jim, you got something to
add? Bob's a man of few words, but he never backed up. And the greatest PKA fight I witnessed was when he fought Alvin Prouder for the title. And they had a press conference, and Prouder comes in, and he looked like Apollo Creed. He's dancing and doing poetry. He's got a gold Batman cape, gold gi, and he's just putting on a show, talking, doing poetry, everything. And Bob's just sitting there at the table looking straight ahead. And then they go to Bob and say, "Bob, do you have anything to say?" And he looks at Prouder. Cameron says, "I'm just glad he showed up." And it was just like,
I remember that room. I remember that.
Yep. And, when Bob came in, he was a rodeo guy. Couldn't hurt him.
Okay.
Indestructible.
Okay.
Indestructible.
So you guys actually trained with Bob Thunder Thurman in the ring.
We did. And we all boxed a lot. That's one thing we were blessed in Kansas City. We had a good boxing club.
Yes.
George trained down there with Leroy Green, and Bob and a lot of us went to the Tomahawk Boxing Club with John Brown. And we kind of made fun of Bob because John would have to leave the boxing coach, and it was at a golf course. And he'd say, "Okay, guys, after we do our rounds, go run 9 holes. And so we'd all, "Okay, coach," we'd go out the parking lot, and he'd have to get in his car and go home. We'd run over the first hill, and we'd just sit there until we knew his car was gone, except for Thunder Thurman. He'd run the whole thing no matter what. And we all that guy, sucker, he's doing all the running. Well, he was the one that made the champion, too. So that was Bob. He never cut a corner. He trained harder than anybody.
Wow, that's great. That's a good answer. Okay, I'm going to throw another one at you.
That's the Johnson County boys. I never went to no golf course. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I got another one thrown at you. Another Basuticon type fighter, Steve Mackey.
Steve was the pack.
Yeah.
Now, he was known as a pretty boy. I remember his long blonde hair, but man, that guy had a spin kick out of Utah. It was a nice kick. He ever hit you with that spin kick?
They made a requirement that him and I did not spar when they were trying to bring people in to sign them up for enrollment because he planted my face across the wall. And so there was no more sparring together. No. But he's the best finesse. Probably one of the best finesse fighters cool, calm, and but unfortunately never recovered from the knockout from Oaktree Edwards. It was the most devastating knockout I've ever witnessed in my life.
Yeah. Demetrius Oaktree Edwards out of North Carolina. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
How about Mark Payne?
Mark's methodical. Mark, he's like the professor.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he just would study, make a battle plan, and he'd plan out each match like a chess match. And when he trained, he'd be like, first round, you're going to do this. And then what are you going to do? If he does this, what do you do? He just, the most strategic, like a football coach for every fight. And when he taught you technique, you learned it right. He'd break it down into many pieces it took, and he didn't have any problem flunking you on a test if you didn't get it right either. You know, he kept the standard. Mark and Steve were really kind of like the Twin Towers after Mr. Harrison left. They kept it going, Mark, with the technique and the training, and Steve was the passion and the coach in the ring, and we had a great team with great camaraderie.
Well,
lasted so long after he left.
I just mentioned some of the fighters that were part of the stable of Security Warriors, but I want to ask a question to George, particularly in throwing there to Jim. A guy named Butterbean. You actually fought him, didn't you?
Butterbean. I fought him at Caesar's Palace on the undercard of Oscar De La Hoya and Chavez. I shattered my hand in the first round on his big head. But, well, him and I were great friends. We was going to do a rematch in Kansas City. They got his shoulder ripped out in an MMA event in Australia. So, unfortunately, we didn't get to do it. I actually was going to fight Vitaly Klitschko for the world title in kickboxing, but him and his brother Vladimir went to Germany to get out of Russia. But that fight was going to fight in St. Petersburg, Russia. Me and Vitaly was going to fight there.
Now you also fought someone else that was known for a couple movie appearances in Rocky, named Tommy Morrison.
The hardest punch I ever took in my life was from Tommy Morrison. People can say what they want about him. He's a natural puncher. He hit me, broke two of my ribs back by my spine. He busted my elbow. They're called a burster sacks. A burster sacks, he burst it. They had to suck down a shoe cortisone in my elbow. Doctors said they only see that in car wrecks. They could not believe a human hand did that to me. But he was a natural puncher, and he had his life that he went through and ended up passing away. But he was truly incredible fighter.
And Tommy and George came up in a tough man contest. George,
I wanted to ask you about that a little bit. For the listeners who don't know what a tough man contest was, is you didn't have to be licensed. You simply had to go in there and sign a waiver, and they put up like $5,000. And literally, it was the toughest man. No technique. Just if you had technique, that was good. But basically, it was really tough stuff to watch. Did you actually win a couple of those, George?
I won two, and I was runner-up 1 year also. But the thing is, you had no idea who you were going to fight. My first fight was a guy who was 6'10", and they called his name out. I said, damn, I wonder who's going to fight this guy. And also, when they called George Clark, come on around. I'm like, oh, no. That looked like a little kid in the ring with him. I stopped him in the second round. But it was just people off the streets that wanted to fight. And it was different. Yeah.
Well, you know, back then it was different because you'd hope that if it was sanctioned, you'd hope that the promoter wouldn't leave before the fight was over and you get paid.
No,
hey, tell me about that fight. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
George and I fought in Memorial Hall was where we had the Battle of the Bad, which was kind of legendary fights, and we all fought, and they were on ESPN. Frank Payne promoted it. I told you my first fight, he kept coming by the dojo. Need more tickets? Well, sure. And I'd take them and hand them out to some students. And next week, hey, need more tickets? Yeah. Kept doing that. And after my first fight, he's like, well, here's you get $15. I'm like, what? And he said, well, you gave away about 45 tickets. I didn't realize that was all coming out of the purse, but we learned a lot. And, one of the first fights
we had. How many fights did you end up having?
I had 10.
And
besides,
okay.
You know, the full game.
Hey, how'd you get the name Heartless? I know how you got Animal. I can figure that out. How'd you get Heartless?
Yeah, and my record was 8-1-1 with 7 knockouts. But I had a – my wife made that up as a joke, you know, the Heartless song by Heart, because I was the white sheep of the Bushido family, because I was a nice guy. And George and Jeff Payne were the black sheep. Everybody else, they were the blackest because they were Wyandotte County boys. They were tougher than us. And then everybody else was black. So, you know, we used to say Mr. Harrison made the bad guy in Karate Kid look like Miyagi. And that was kind of our, we grew up in.
The question I want to ask you guys is this. If you won, I can see what he would say to you, but you can tell me. But if you lost, what would Mr. Harrison say to you?
Well, I got a good one for you on that. I won the Nationals. I won the U.S. Championship in Dallas, Texas, Alice Deans, as a green belt. I shattered my hand in like 9 places, whatever. It was shattered. In my second, I had 7 fights that day. My second fight, I shattered. So I just wrapped it with tape and went on and did it. The next morning, they had team matches, L.A. Stars, Benny Urquidy's, Dallas, Texas, all full contact teams. Mr. Harrison won me fighting the team matches, Midwest, whatever they called, against Sal Navarez out of Texas. The guy's a beast.
Oh, yeah, he's a guy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm a green belt, and I'm standing there, and Steve Mackey and Mark Payne are standing there. They go, Jim, look at his hands. So I put my paw up there. He looked at it, and he goes, oh, hell, just go on. My big head, and I thought I was something good. Completely, the air got let out real quick. I'm like, I'm sorry, Jim. I'll go kill myself. I'm not worthy. You know, but you know what? He brought me to earth real quick because, you know what? He would have fought. That's, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's my story on it. Go ahead.
What did you talk to Jim? Yeah. Tell me.
I was in St. Louis, the top 10 nationals, and fighting brown belt, and I went at night. We fought on those stages before they had the rings. And I had a fro, and the guy I was fighting was a black guy with a fro, and we're both trying to do our pretty kicks. And he did a real spinny, pretty spinning kick, and I ducked it, and he just kind of grazed my hair. And they break point. They gave him a point. And I looked at Mr. Harrison, kind of shrugged my shoulders like, well, you know, I guess they're calling flaky stuff. And same time, I think the referee was Fred Wren or Roger Carpenter, one of those tough old guys. And we all looked at Jim the same time, and Jim looked at me and said, just knock him out. And I kind of nodded like, yes, sir. And the guy I was fighting heard it too, and it was just points. We're supposed to knock him out, but Mr. Harrison said to. So the guy came in, he went to sweep my leg or check it, and I jammed him and grabbed him and punched him and just dropped him. And I looked at Mr. Harrison like, are you happy now? And referee looked at Mr. Harrison, and the guy I dropped was on his hands and knees. We all three look at Mr. Harrison, and he looks at me and goes, now kick him off the stage. And I'm like, yes, sensei. And I start going after him. This guy's crawling away. The referee's grabbed me. I'm trying to kick him because Mr. Harrison told me to. And so that was my national championship. I got disqualified. And then the next week we get back to the dojo. Everybody's got their trophies in there. And Mike Roth goes to Mr. Harrison and says, "Mr., you couldn't wear a black gi top until you won a national title. That was a big deal in our dojo. And I hadn't won mine." And Mike said, well, Mr. Harrison, does Jimmy still get a black top since he – drop that guy when you told him to? And Harrison said, if anybody ever brings that up again, I'll make him wear a pink gi. And he was serious. I never asked again about a belt or a gi or nothing. Get my mouth shut.
Yes, sir. I got one more for you guys, and it's who we dedicated the show to tonight. I know you guys are close to him, too. Jim Fighting Irishman Anderson. Tell me about how you feel about him.
Well, Jimmy's got the biggest heart, you know, and biggest everything. And he's the guy that made it happen. When we did that Jim Harrison tribute in Dallas, he's close friends with Bob Wall and Chuck Norris. And Jimmy's the guy that made that happen because he donated to make that happen. And then, you know, you guys might not have ever heard this, but Bob Wall sometimes will talk big. And Bob set a goal that we were going to raise $100,000. And of course, we spent half of it on a fancy hotel because it's Texas boys. You know how they are. But at the end of it, Jimmy and I are hanging out at the hotel bar, and I'm playing with my grandson. And, you know, he wasn't drinking. I wasn't drinking. I was with my grandson. And Jimmy says, well, how do we do? And I said, well, I think we're almost there. He says, well, you tell me whenever anybody needs anything, Jim needs something, just let me know.
you know, whatever you need. And that's just the kind of guy. And he just, you know, he's been there for everybody, and that's why it's really important. I'm really blessed that you did the dedicated show to him, because he's had some health issues lately, and we want him to be able to travel, come to Kansas City, and come down there to your event this fall. He really looks forward to it, and he just had that pacemaker in a couple of
weeks. We give a Samaritan Award in his name in honor every year, and you know, he really, you know, made him an honorary black belt 2 years ago. So he's more than the family. He's a black belt now under the Sport Karate Museum archives. And but, you know, he does care. He cares a lot. And he's close to Bob Wall. He's close to Mr. Burleson. And he's close to Mr. Harrison. And, you know, he's just part of that family that is very special. George, how do you feel about the podcast?
You know, I actually don't know Mr. Anson well. All I know is he's Irish, and I'm Irish. So, hey, go Irish. But the thing about him is, you know what? A lot of people talk the talk. He walks it. He talks about helping people. He does do it. That's the difference. My respect for him is immensely huge, and I don't even really know the man well. But I'm going to tell you what he has done and what he's done for the fellow fighters, the martial arts, and what he's done, what a great man. You know, that's all you can say. What a great man.
He's stepping up this year. You'll get to know him after this year, because in Kansas City and in Houston, he's a big part of both. Well, thanks, guys, for mentioning those names and talking about those great fighters and talking about the great people like Mr. Anderson. You know, I got to tell you something. A few years back, one of the promises I made Mr. Harrison and the many phone calls that I do to him, I said, I want to do something special. I want to do something I've never done before. I want to put in your family of black belts as together as history generals in the Sport Karate Museum. So if anyone goes to www.sportkaratemuseum.org and click on the history generals and go down, you'll see the list of black belt fighters that Mr. Harrison asked me to put in. They were all from the Secure Warrior and the Bushidokan guys. I want to ask you guys, because you two are that group, what's it like being a history general and be able to be part of this movement to keep sport karate alive and be able to talk about it like we're doing in today's show? Can you tell me that, guys?
You have to have history. You have to understand the history of what you're involved in. We're not just some, you know, flaky thing that came along. Yeah, I mean, this goes, we're talking about the martial arts goes back centuries. You need to know where you come from, what you're about, why you're doing this. And what people like Sport Cry does is it tells the people who have been our predecessors, you know, who led the way to where we're at. And what better thing is to have them know who your background, who your family is. We're family. We're all family. That's the thing about martial artists. We're all family. But you know what? It's good to know about your family.
One nation, many tribes. Well, and I think what you're doing, Gary, is awesome because many people see the stuff on TV and they think it's double leg and grounded pound is martial arts. And that's not what it's about. You know, it's a Bushido honor and courtesy and, you know, Mr. Harrison. You hear all the stories about how courageous and what a fighter he was, but he also believed in being a gentleman and a scholar. Nobody's ever heard him raise his voice. You know, he never started trouble. He just didn't take crap. And the definition of a warrior for Mr. Harrison was, you believed in things and right and wrong, and you stood for right. You weren't out there just kicking everybody's butt to show you're tough. But when somebody was doing something wrong, you're the first guy to speak up, first guy to stop somebody from bullying somebody, whatever. And that's what he imparted to us, is that it's an art first. And, you know, it's about learning the techniques, but then also the camaraderie, the relationships, lifelong friendships. And, you know, just that camaraderie of warriors that is crosses – every economic or political, national, everything. It's just, it's really a great thing, you know. And I think that our mandate, like Gord said, is to help raise these young men in what real martial arts are and what the code's about. So that's our goal.
Yes, sir. And we've definitely talked about that honor tonight with some of the stories you shared with me. You know, you guys have been to a couple legends, living legends, celebrity roasts. 1 year we honored the first responders, and of course that's where we honored Mr. Clark and George Bruce Clark for his work in the firefighter service. And then you guys put in History Generals. But, you know, I tell you guys something. Every year I do a Living Legends, I always think it as if it's the first one because I get to meet incredible people like George Clark. I remember meeting George and in love, you know, I do the Hawaii haiku, you know, slap. And I found out later, not many people got by with slapping George Clark.
You're the only one that survived, Terry. And I didn't believe that story when I heard it.
I've added it to my resume. That's how proud I'm of it. It's on my resume, without a doubt. But I really
you can't
learned
see George form. On the radio. But George looks like the toughest mob guy, the toughest guy you see walking down any street, and you'd be like, forget this, I'm going the other way.
Yeah.
Now, he's the best guy in the world to have behind your back, have your backside, but you don't want him to get in your face. And so that made me think either Gurley's crazy or courageous. I don't know when I heard that story.
Well, I'm a little bothered, but I just want to say I really grown to love you guys. The history of being a part, even though I'm, you know, adopted into your family of Superior Warrior Arts, and you know, I'm just excited by having Torin tied to a seminar, George to a seminar, having the guys come down and sharing the experience of honoring Mr. Harrison. And that's going to be Friday, September the 29th, and we're going to make it a day of Harrison. We're going to have a little video set up. I think Mr. Alan Kelly is going to do that, and where you can go in and tell your favorite story and give Jim a DVD of the end of the videos. We'll have a booth for all his blood and guts videos, T-shirts, and, of course, the seminars of George and Tor and Ty. You know, guys, thank you so much for being a part of this tonight and sharing
the
story.
No, thank you, Gary. This was an honor. This was an honor for us.
Well,
yes.
It's really an honor for us to be a part of this and be a part of Mr. Harrison and be able to, you know, for his legacy.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Gary, I
you guys
say,
are.
You're a guy just like Jim Anderson or Mark Payne or any of our guys. When you say you're going to do something, you do it. And when I first met you, I thought, man, this guy's the biggest salesman. He talks and he's got all these things going, but he does them all. And I don't know how you do it, but it's just got to be labor love, and you've got the passion, and it really helps
I'll be blunt with
keep
you.
A lot of us going.
Jim, I'm going to be honest. It's the power of a higher force. You know, it's having faith and believing that you can do things that you don't do by yourself, and having an incredible family behind you. And having people behind you, but having an almighty force and faith to where it takes me every day. This has been an uphill battle, but, you know, I've got people like Anchi Bowen and Joe Corley and Jeff Smith and Jim Hartley, Jim Harrison, Mike Stone. I can go on and on. When you got people like that behind you and what you do, you can accomplish anything. And my job basically is the saying that Mr. Harrison helped me create for this show. And it says this: we were all Asian influenced, but sport karate was born in America. And with that said, Hanti Bowen, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
Do we have anybody on the line to talk to Jim Hartley or George Clark or to myself?
Mr. Harrison, Tanya texted me that Mr. Harrison's called in.
All right, great. All the lines are now open, sir.
Hello, this is Professor Gary Lee. Is someone there to talk to the show?
Hey, Gary, how are you doing?
Mr. Harrison.
All right.
Hi, George. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, Mr. Harrison, how are you?
Mr. Harrison, how are you doing? We love you.
Oh,
I'm good.
Okay.
We're thinking about you, sir. We had a whole show for you tonight dedicated to Jimmy Anderson. And you can listen to it a little bit later if you didn't get to listen to all of it. And it was a fun show.
I think I got it all.
I'm so glad you called in. Oh, you did? Cool. I told you I talk a lot. Remember, you always tell me I talk too much. Remember? So, Gary, shut up. You talk too much. But that's okay. I'd rather get told to be shut up by Jim Harrison than anything else in the world. We love you, sir. We love you.
Well, it's mutual, Gary.
Hey, Jimmy, do me a favor, Jim Hartley. Say that saying that's over the door of Mr. Harrison's dojo. Remember I asked you to say that for me?
Well, the first it had Academy of Champions, you know, it had Bushido Khan, Academy of Champions. It said no paper fighters, no, not kata dancers, and no paper tigers. Then you walked in, there was a big poster, and it had the different levels of colors of the belts. And it said, anything can be easily made and cheaply bought, but that which is earned dearly with blood, sweat, and tears is of the most value. And if you're more concerned with wearing a belt than earning a belt, I recommend you study someone other than Bushido Khan. And that's the first thing you saw when you walked in. And that's how
so,
life was.
Mr. Harrison, when you created that saying, I could definitely understand that came from your heart. Do you remember writing that down and what you were thinking about when you wrote that?
Well, I think what Teddy Roosevelt said about the man in the ring kind of inspired me to do that.
Yes, sir. I imagine it's Goosebump City every time you walk in the that dojo in Missoula. Lots of history in there.
Yeah. So I had to leave St. Louis because I needed to get my two boys away from their mother. And every time she brought them home, they were one had an asthma attack, one had a was crying, and so I just moved up here to get away from her, just keep her away from,
yes,
from them for a while. But she finally got some visitation, and again, but we had 2 years of good time.
Yes, sir. Well, the Karate Angels were looking after me tonight by having you call in, especially after a great interview with two of your fighters, Jim Hartley and George Clark. And, you know, this is what this is all about as far as I'm concerned. Be able to do a weekly show and be able to talk to my heroes and the people that helped me start the idea of the museum. All I can say is, Mr. Jim Harrison, we love you. And we cherish the fact that we could honor you this year, not only in Kansas City, but the big celebration of the 25th Living Legends in Houston in September. And, you know, thank you for calling in. And thank you, Tanya, for doing that for me and making it happen. Thank you, Jim Hartley, for what you did, spending time with the old Hawaii boy. And thank you, George Clark, for not beating me up for slapping me across the face. I really appreciate that. It means a lot. You know, I've been hit enough. I'm already punchy a little bit. And I love you guys with all my heart. And Mr. Harrison, Garrett sends his love too. And so does Tammy. So with that said, Master Bowen, you want to close us out, sir?
Sure. And guys, listen, thank you. It's such an honor to have you guys as a part of the show and what we're trying to do with the American Martial Arts Alliance and the Who's Who is to keep it alive, you know, keep the martial arts alive. The days when, you know, we were starting off as pioneers, the day that we've grown in the martial arts and continue to change lives with the martial arts. So that's my mission through the Who's Who, is to tell the story, support the story of, you know, legendary martial artists, you know, such as yourselves. And again, you know, with Professor Gary Lee, I truly do thank you for that. We have had a really great year. It really hasn't been a year. It's only been about 6 months since we released Who's Who. And there's so many things that's going on in the change of sport karate, and we're so excited to being in the midst of that. One of the things is that we're going to be having the Europa Games. It's going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this is a part of the martial arts tour where the Europa Games and sport karate will be a part of in Dallas, Tampa, and also Phoenix. And this is a great honor platform for martial arts to be on that we can now showcase with other sports, you know, what our sport, what our art is about, and then how do we turn our art into a sporting activity that people can safely practice in. So we're really excited about all the different changes, and, you know, we have the 17 book coming out. This is going to be coming out in August the 4th in Washington, D.C., with Grandmaster Dennis Brown's his event, the Capital Classics. So we have teamed up, and we'll be having the Legend Awards Banquet, release of the Who's Who book, and so many things. And like I said, we are, you know, the boundaries of sport karate that we are teaming with, it goes, you know, all across the country this year. And we're really so excited. And, again, we thank you, you know, for coming on the show, which, you know, really helps the lay person or the new person into the martial arts to really understand our history, that it wasn't all here, that we had to build it stick by stick, dojo by dojo, fight by fight, to be able to get where we are today. And, you know, we really want to keep those stories, you know, those true stories. We don't want them to fade away and not have a history or a place to be. And this is the reason why the Sport Karate Museum is such a, it's so important to be able to house the memorabilia of everything that's happened. Again, you know, I truly do thank you guys.
Gary,
well,
Gary,
I want
to.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Mr. Harrison, yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
I just want to say a couple of quick things to you before we cut out. You've been the greatest spokesman for karate that we have in America, or probably in the world. And Jim Anderson has been the greatest sponsor of all of us, and made a lot of things happen that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So,
thank you, sir.
You both, you guys, and sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to make sure I got that info. We signed off here. What did you do?
Thank you, sir. That's a good interruption. I love you for that. Thank you.
Love you too, dear. And give
Gary
a hug for me.
Sir?
I said give Gary and Tammy a hug for me.
Oh, I sure will, sir. I'll do it as soon as the show's over with. You can bet on it.
I'll turn you back to Mr. Bowen now.
Yes, sir.
And I'll, I'm going to upload the video of the Mr. Harrison's tribute video we made so that you can take it and put it on your page too, Gary, so that everybody listening can watch that afterwards.
Yeah.
Get to the page,
well,
because it's really great history.
We're running a little late tonight, but I want to say thank you, and thank you, Master Bowen, always for believing in the Sport Karate Museum Archives and believing in me. With that said, please go to www.sportkaratemuseum.org for the website. If you'd like to email me, ProfessorGaryLee@gmail.com. You call me directly at 713-483-0476. Don't forget, call Punchy Bowen to get your book and your free Legends T-shirt right now, 919-618-8075. With that said, don't forget, Jeff W. Smith, world champion, is our next interview. With that said, aloha, mahalo, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thank you, sir.
Sayonara.
Mahalo.
Sayonara. Love you, Mr. Harrison.
Coming to Charlotte, North Carolina, the 2017 Europa Games Sport Karate
Everybody
Championship. Gone? Your road to the UFC International Fight Week in Las Vegas. Come check out the largest health, fitness, and sports trade show in the world, taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina, the 2017 Europa Games Get Fit Sports Fest. The event will be held on April the 22nd and 23rd, 2017. Bring your entire family. It's open to the public. Over 500,000 square feet of expo activities, over 100 vendors sampling and selling active wear, vitamins, health food, sports equipment, anti-aging products, and much more. You'll have live sporting events, wrestling, karate, powerlifting, bodybuilding, grappling, just to name a few. We even have a kids zone with free prizes for the little ones. We'll also have Black Belt Grand Champion Forms in Fighting cash prize, plus the AMAA Grand Champion will represent the AMAA Sport Karate League at the Battle of Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia, with a free entry. For more information, call area code 919-489-6100. Jesse Bowen.